Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Show. Hour of power for 2 hours and wander across the interwebs of the radio waves through your space between your heads, your subarachnoid space being interrupted and vibrated. And Nima Vedati, my co-host, is out today. This is Michael W. Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And yeah, someone said about me today that I am an avid indoorsman, and I like that a lot. So we don't have Nima today, then it's a good thing. He's in the hospital, but it's a good thing. His wife had a kid, and there's a picture and a birth announcement on the Freedom Fiends blog if you want to go look at it. Lily June Vedati Romanowski was born yesterday, December 14th, 2013 at 5:03 p.m. Central Time in Round Rock, Texas. She is 6 pounds, 1 ounce. And in the other corner today, from a couple miles away from Round Rock, Texas, we have Scott Horton of The Scott Horton Show. And this guy knows more about geopolitical, international stuff than I do by far, and more than almost anybody that I can think of. He is a radio host on KPFK in Los Angeles. He's done 3,000 interviews since 2003. And he knows what's going on in this planet, especially when it comes to war. How you doing there, Scott Horton?
I'm doing great. Thanks very much for having me on today.
Yeah, so let's start with an easy question. Why is there unrest in the Middle East?
The answer is simple. Afraid not.
Well, I have a friend who said it's because Abraham had two sons, but that's at best a vast oversimplification and at worst just wrong. So what's the truth? You only have 2 hours, so make it short.
All right. Well, you know, to the degree that that is true, then the lesson simply is there's no point in the North Americans trying to intervene and sort any of it out. If this all just goes back to a fight over, you know, magical, supernatural, God-given property rights from 2 or 3,000 years ago, and who has claim to the land around the Al-Aqsa Mosque or whatever, as, you know, like we need some final answer to that question. If that's what the fight's about, then certainly it can't be up to a bunch of North Americans to figure it out. It's the kind of thing that will still be going on for a long, long time. But I don't really buy that. I mean, really probably the best answer to me is that this all goes back to Woodrow Wilson.
Everything's Woodrow Wilson's fault. You have a show called that or an essay called that, didn't you?
Yeah. Blame Wilson is the essay. And in fact, there's a great book by a Cato Institute scholar named Jim Powell. And the book is called Wilson's War, How Woodrow Wilson's Great Blunder, et cetera, et cetera. And the point of it is that the First World War was a stalemate between the Central Powers and the Allies. It basically was going nowhere until America intervened. And then America helped Britain and France and Russia, well, the Russians were out, but basically helped Britain and France win a complete victory over the Germans, and as well as the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the Ottoman Empire. And so, as Jim Powell argues in his book, the vindictive, the intervention, the American intervention, came along with a lot of bribes to what was then the interim government in Russia after their first revolution. Again, we're talking 1917 in the midst of World War I. There had been a revolution in March, and the Tsar had been overthrown and was replaced by a parliament and a prime minister named, more or less a prime minister, named Kerensky. But Woodrow Wilson bribed him to stay in the war, to keep the Germans divided along in two fronts. Well, but that meant that the Russian army was not there to protect the Kremlin. And then Lenin and Trotsky, on their fourth try, were able to seize power and create the USSR in October of 1917. And so if it had not been for Woodrow Wilson's intervention, the Russian Kerensky would have not stayed in the war, and the Russian army would have been there to protect the capital from the Bolsheviks and the Soviets who took over. And so without Woodrow Wilson's intervention in World War I, there never would have been the Soviet Union. And of course, that means later on there never would have been a Maoist China either, or any of the Cold War. But also, when America intervened in World War I, they tipped the scale so far in favor of the French and the British that they were able to strip away all these extra territories from the Germans and grind their economy into the dirt. And that just radicalized the entire society, which, you know, ultimately divided almost half between communists and Nazis. And the Nazis were triumphant over the communists and then embarked on invading the world, well, Europe and into the Soviet Union from there. And of course, they also destroyed the Ottoman Empire, and the British and the French redrew all the lines in the Middle East, which has a lot to do with what the fighting is going on right now, say, for example, in Syria and Iraq, which I'm sure we'll get back to.
Didn't they say that they divided up the empire over tea, like literally in an afternoon? They decided
I just read a great story last night at the BBC where he talks about the problem is these borders that were drawn with rulers. It's called the Sykes-Picot Agreement. Sykes was the British, Mark Sykes, and François Picot or something like that was the Frenchman. And they sat down, exactly like you said, they just sat down between the two of them and decided. And what's interesting is both of these men apparently were very well educated in Middle Eastern affairs and really had a very good grasp on which different ethnic and religious groups lived where. But they didn't care about that. If anything, they deliberately seek to divide and conquer. And so now Egypt has been Egypt, and Syria more or less has been Syria. But the way that they drew the lines, they really created the state of Iraq, which had been three separate districts under the Ottoman Empire, Mosul, Baghdad, and Basra. And they created Iraq out of whole cloth, basically. And then, of course, Kuwait. They drew the line between Iraq and Syria, the line around Lebanon, and of course the Levant and Palestine, the Palestine Mandate, what eventually became the State of Israel. And of course, they drew the lines on the Arabian Peninsula as well and created Oman and Yemen and Qatar and place. I mean, these were just tribal groupings. There were no nation states there. The British came and created them. And so that's led to a lot of these problems. But especially now, getting back to Europe real quick, now you see, and the narrative of how this is Woodrow Wilson's fault is because of American intervention in the First World War, without it, there would have never been a Soviet Union or a Nazi Germany. Now, nobody can know exactly what would have happened instead, but it wouldn't have been World War II, the worst thing that ever happened in the history of mankind, 60 million people killed. And then, of course, the rise of the evil communist empires after which became the at least the excuse or the reason for the American empire to expand, to contain the communist bloc during the Cold War. And then we have Cold War missions like support for the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in the 1980s and support for Saddam Hussein in his war to contain the Iranian Revolution in the 1980s, and then, of course, leading to the Gulf War and the Clinton blockade and the September 11th attacks and the whole mess of the war on terrorism today. So I'm not saying it would have been a perfect world without Woodrow Wilson. In fact, if it had been Theodore Roosevelt, he'd have got us in the war that much earlier. So, you know, who knows? But if it had not been for American intervention in World War I, America certainly would not have the mess that we're dealing with in the Middle East right now. Yeah. And it certainly is not. It certainly, I think, defies any explanation that, oh, well, they just, you know, hate us because we're Christians or hate us because we're Jews and that kind of thing. Because Christians and Jews have lived in the Middle East all along. More Jews than Christians. Really, historically, it was the Christians versus the Muslims and Jews. But now it's the Christians and the Jews versus the Muslims, I guess, if you can call it that. But again, I think it's more like, you know, nation states, the U.S. and Israel. And that's not the same thing as the Christians and the Jews by a long shot.
I also think that Barack Obama is a horrible, horrible person. But I don't buy this people saying he's a secret Muslim. And my reason is because he kills too many Muslims of too many different types. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree with Lou Rockwell. Lou Rockwell said, if only he was a Muslim, maybe he would have the slightest inclination to refrain from slaughtering them from morning till night. And, you know, Lou Rockwell, for people not familiar, he's no bleeding heart lefty. Well, he may be a bleeding heart, but he's a hardcore libertarian. And, you know, certainly no Michael Moore type. But, yeah. You know, he's just recognizing the folly of this. You know, the way they sell it, especially to the masses of people, is just that this is all so inevitable. You know, it's us versus the Muslims, sort of like in the Cold War, the commies out
there. Well, they need bumper stickers to sell it to the people, like bumper sticker, you know, like hope and change. And something as short as Muslims want to all kill Americans. I mean, that is not true. It, at one end, and just a vast oversimplification at another end. And people, you know, they want to cheer for the football team. They want to go, yeah, kill them all and let God sort them out and take my tax money and send my children over there to fight for Wall Street. And it's not.
Well, part of it is it's so simple sounding that it sounds like, well, maybe it must be true then, because, you know, apparently so many people believe it. It doesn't seem to really be in dispute. And, you know, depending on, you know, who you're surrounded by, but you could see why people, I was just reading a story today about young kids from bad parts of big cities who they have been sold this line that their only hope, their only way out is to join the ROTC and become, you know, sort of child soldiers, at least in training. These are junior high school and you know, freshman and sophomore level kids, you know, 14 and 15 year old kids. And they're being taught that, you know, yeah, we got to fight the Muslims. It's us versus them. And, you know, they don't really know anything about it, but that's the line they're being sold, sort of as simple as that. Just like I remember seeing a clip of a young guy in Kuwait on the eve of the Iraq invasion saying, you know, I am scared, telling the newsman, I am scared, but you know what? I just look at this picture, and he's got a picture of September 11th torn out of a news magazine hanging on the wall of his bunk. And he's saying, you know, we're going to go get the terrorists for this. But, of course, the terrorists had already escaped. They were 1,000 miles east of there.
Yep.
Linked from Afghanistan to Pakistan. They weren't in Iraq at all.
We'll have more on the Freedom Fiends with Scott Horton when we come back from this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says Worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. And this is Mr. Michael Dean. No relation to Howard Dean. Blah! And today we got Scott Horton. No relation, but a good friend of and fan of and mutual fan of the attorney named Scott Horton. But this is Scott Horton, who does the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org. And you should go there and you should read his stuff and listen to his stuff and send him Bitcoin. And I don't know, do you take Litecoin and Namecoin yet, Scott?
No, I need to get all that worked out.
Yeah, yeah. Namecoin is going to run the internet in a couple years. So everybody should get some Namecoin. And the Freedom Fiends take Namecoin and Litecoin and Wormcoin and Bitcoin and Phoenix Coin, just for kicks, Phoenix Coin. But we're talking about the world right now and war. War, what is it good for, Scott? And what's Molly?
What's Molly? Well, war is good for nothing. Except, well, you know, padding the pockets of a bunch of billionaires who don't really need welfare, but collect it all day anyway. Well, there are a few other things. But as far as Molly, Molly is not a girl, although she is a girl, but not this Molly. This Molly is a country in the Western Sahara Desert there in North Africa. It's about, say, 700 or 1,000 miles southwest of Libya.
How do you spell it if people want to look it up?
M-A-L-I.
Yep, most people never heard of it, and they should know about it because their sons are going to be over there fighting soon or running robots over there, you said?
There's going to be more and more intervention there into the future and all throughout Africa, in fact. But what's happened in Mali is sort of the war on terrorism in a microcosm. America intervenes somewhere and ruins everything, and then when the blowback comes, the government says, oh my God, look, a thing happened, and today is the first day of history, and you don't need to pay attention to how it came to be this way. You just need to get on board for what we want to do next, which will be, of course, to create the next disaster, which we can react to and move on and on and on down from there in an unbroken chain from Woodrow Wilson to the present day, if you really want to put it that way. And so what happened in Mali was that there was blowback from the Iraq War that led to, revolution across the Arab world beginning in very late 2010, early 2011, the so-called Arab Spring. And it was so obvious, even to Americans, because CNN couldn't even deny it. It was too black and white of a issue that Uncle Sam is the evil empire behind every dictatorship in the region. Every single president, so-called president, every military dictator, every king and sultan and emir, other than the dictatorship in Syria and the dictatorship in Iran. Every other country, from Morocco really all the way to Indonesia, their governments, their regimes are backed by the United States. And it was just so obvious that when the people of the Middle East, especially in Egypt, for example, when they were rising up against their leader, they were overthrowing America's sock puppet dictator, Hosni Mubarak, who'd spent the last 30 years torturing them and stealing from them. And Hillary Clinton, as reported by the late, great Michael Hastings, and I called this before he verified it. It was just my intuition that what's going on here in Libya is really just a PR stunt. Hillary has decided she's got to confuse the issue. She's got to bring the Americans in on the side of the little guy against an expendable dictator. Now, Gaddafi had been brought in from the cold by George W. Bush back in 2003, you might remember. He wasn't a bad guy anymore. He was a friend of ours again. But he's still the wacky Colonel Gaddafi, and he couldn't be relied upon to buy the armored personnel carriers that John McCain was trying to sell him. And so he was expendable. And John McCain, of course, was number one on the bandwagon to support the war to overthrow him. And it was basically, they were just doing this as a PR stunt. I think was the overriding reason to make it look like here America's on the side of the little guy against the dictator, just because of the danger that it was getting through to the American people that we really, it's our country that backs all the torture dictators around here. And maybe that's not the right thing to do when people protesting in the street by the tens of millions demanding a modicum of due process of law and, somebody please lick inflation for us. And clearly have right on their side. Stop torturing us, they cry. Clearly, they're the ones who own their country, who have the right. And so who are we to foist a dictator on them? The American people were beginning to find. And so then, oh, that's the music. When we get back, yeah. I'll tell you how the war in Libya spread to Mali, and we'll keep going south from there.
Okay. Thanks, Scott Horton, on the Freedom Fiend Show. We'll be back after this trip from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Show on Genesis Communications Network. And our co-host today, while Nima Vidati is out being a daddy, he's got one day under his belt being a daddy, and that's a cool thing, Lily June Vidati. I have a correction. Her last name's not hyphenated, so it's just Lily June Vidati, which is good because nobody needs four names, and if she wants to later, she can change it and add a hyphenated, so it's Lily June Vidati was born yesterday, and Nima's out being a daddy, so that's a good thing. We have somebody that actually Nima turned me on to, and Nima listens to almost every show, by Scott Horton of The Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org. And Scott Horton, you were schooling us about why there's unrest in the Middle East, and I think we're going geographically south from somewhere. I think we were to Mali.
Yeah, we're in the far west of the Middle East now. The nearest east. First of all, congratulations to Nima and his wife. That's great. I bet you they're having the time of their life right now.
Yep.
So that's wonderful. Cheers. Three cheers for life. So, yeah, we were talking about Mali. You asked me about Mali, but I can't tell you about Mali without telling you about the war in Libya. America fought the war on the side of the Mujahideen. And I agree with you that Barack Obama is not a secret Muslim traitor. He thinks, just like in Syria, which I hope we'll get to later, he thinks that this is in America's interest to use the Mujahideen when it's, you know, easy to use them as shock troops instead of our own army to do a regime change. And so they went ahead and did it. They basically switched sides back to Al-Qaeda. And even during the war in 2011, when, in fact, I know a lot of Americans don't even know there was a war in Libya in 2011. A friend of mine said there was a war. We went to war with Libya? Yeah, 2 years ago for 9 months. Huh? Oh, I don't know. There was a war in Libya, all right. And during the war, it became very clear, especially in the British papers, but even in American papers, that, hey, the guys we're fighting for, they are veterans of the recent Iraq war, where they fought on the side of the Sunni insurgency against the American occupation. And, you know, any foreigner who traveled to Iraq to fight our guys, our government called all of them Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Well, that's who these guys were, the Zarqawiites, the suicide bomber types. And some of them had been Afghan war veterans as well. And there were, you know, quite a few Libyans who had gone and fought in the Iraq war. Well, then after the Iraq war, they went home again. And this was who America fought the war for and overthrew Gaddafi, who, if he had one virtue in his miserable life, Gaddafi was good at keeping Al-Qaeda down. Well, we overthrew him for them. But then kind of an ironical thing, I don't know if anyone could have predicted it or not, but there were a bunch of Tuaregs, which is an ethnicity of people from the far western Sahara Desert. People call them the blue men of the Sahara because they wear burqas like Afghan women, kind of thing, is how they dress, is how they look. It's not exactly the same thing, but sort of like that. And it dyes their skin blue. So a lot of them had been working for Gaddafi as mercenaries in his own little private Gestapo. He never had much of an army because he was scared to have one. They might overthrow him. So, but he had his own little private Gestapo, and it included a lot of mercenaries who were Tuaregs from northern Mali. Well, when America helped al-Qaeda defeat Gaddafi, his shock troop guys, his mercenaries, went home to where they were from. And back in Mali, they had won sort of autonomy under the control of the ethnically, black Africans from the south, and who had been installed in power by the French, of course, back when the whole place belonged to them. And they already had autonomy, but they came home from Libya with all of their guns that they'd gotten from Gaddafi and said, well, why should we settle for autonomy? Let's secede from the Union. And they tried to declare independence from the blacks in the south. Well, and actually they won. But what happened was the al-Qaeda guys came on their heels, and they're way more ruthless than these Tuaregs ever were. And so they hijacked the Tuareg rebellion, pushed the Tuaregs to the side. I mean, they had a legitimate reason to secede in the first place. But the al-Qaeda guys came and took it over, and then they went all the way into the south and sacked at least a couple of, I think, one major city in the south. And at that point in 2012, the French invaded in order to back up their government. The Americans helped. And, of course, we've had special forces and CIA guys the entire time there. And they're now doing what they're sort of calling a mopping up exercise of trying to hunt down the last of the Mujahideen up in the north of Mali. But guess what? The north of Mali is the size of Texas. And that may be a cliche where y'all are from, but where I'm from, Texas, that's a meaningful thing. Texas is huge, okay? We're talking, you know, your map lies to you about the size of Africa. Look on a globe. That's how big Africa really is. and Mali is, you know, we could mop up with drones there and with special forces there for as long as there are American companies willing to sell the government guns and robots to do it with. And then, of course, as long as they can say that, guess what, Michael? A guy from Mali once shook hands with a guy from Nigeria. And the same guy from Mali had once shaken hands from a guy from Benghazi who had once shaken hands with this guy from Somalia who his brother's former roommate had done jumping jacks with some guys from Yemen. And now we have a terror war, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. And, this really does go all the way back to Woodrow Wilson. His intervention in World War I caused World War II. And then that became the excuse for the whole Cold War, the consequences from that. And the consequences from the Cold War led us into the War on Terror. And then with each and every battle, each and every segment of the War on Terrorism, we spread the war somewhere else. There's always something blowing up. There's always something for a politician to point at and say, this is a threat to our security, no matter how far away it is or no matter how much it's their fault in the first place. I mean, there's a brand new story in McClatchy about how the al-Qaeda guys in Libya, who we fought a war for 2 years ago, are now training and have been the whole time, really, have been training up and sending these same al-Qaeda Mujahideen warriors off to fight the war in Syria, where, again, America's on the side of the suicide bombers against the dictatorship, because in this case, the government of Syria, the dictatorship of Syria, is friends with Iran, and Israel wants America to be enemies with Iran, and so for whatever reason, that means we have to go along with that, even though it wasn't Hezbollah, and it was not Iran, and it was not Syria that knocked down our towers. It was al-Qaeda. It was the Sunni jihadist suicide bombers, and these are the guys that we're now backing against Israel's enemies.
So everything that's not Wilson's fault in the modern era, I would say, is Charlie Wilson's fault, you know, leading up to like having these contractors over there who aren't accountable to anybody, who I've heard actually called American Taliban because a lot of them have beards because they can grow their facial hair and their hair however they want because they're paid by corporations and not Uncle Sam's barber keeping track of their face. How did everything that's not Wilson's fault be Charlie Wilson's fault, and who is Charlie Wilson?
Well, Charlie Wilson was a congressman from Texas who in the 1980s, there's a movie about him with Julia Roberts and stuff people have probably seen, based on a book by George Creel. And the story is he just I'm not exactly sure anymore how he got hooked on this story, but I think maybe he saw it on 60 Minutes or something, that the CIA, open secret, is backing the Mujahideen warriors in Afghanistan, fighting against the Soviet invasion there. And I think Charlie Wilson actually probably gets too much of the credit, but he apparently really got on board for this thing. And I think he wasn't even on the proper committees in Congress, but he just was a old Texas wheeler dealer, you know, like Rich Texan on The Simpsons, cigar chomping kind of womanizing, hard drinking kind of a Texas Democrat congressman from back in the day, if you know what I mean. And he just had a way of getting things done and getting money appropriated and helped really push the covert, you know, sort of kind of covert. Hell, they made Rambo 3 about it. They threw the Americans and the Saudis through Pakistan backed what was called the Arab Afghan Army that went off to fight against the Soviet invasion and occupation of Afghanistan. And really, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, claims at least that it was all his brilliant idea that they would actually start aiding the Mujahideen way back in 78, 79 in order to provoke the Soviets into invading to back up their communist sock puppet dictatorship in Kabul, that it was under threat, and that Carter deliberately lured the Soviets. Brzezinski claimed anyway, to give them, and when they did, when they fell for it and the troops first crossed the border, Carter claims he sent a memo, Brzezinski claims he sent a memo to Carter saying, now we'll give them their own Vietnam. In other words, a no-win, decade-long catastrophe that will destroy their society.
Yes, so Charlie Wilson was this Democrat. You know, people think there's a difference between Democrats and Republicans, but he basically worked with Reagan and funded and armed a bunch of people who turned into what organization or evolved into?
Well, this is the core of what became Al-Qaeda.
The
guys that we're fighting now are basically the sons of the Afghan Mujahideen. But the Al-Qaeda guys that we're helping now, that Bush accidentally helped in Iraq and Obama's deliberately helping in Libya and Syria, these guys are the sons of the Arabs who came from all across the Middle East to go as their kind of rite of passage to go off and fight. And then what happened was after September 11th, when Bush went on his extra credit assignment into Iraq, it wasn't really the Afghan the veterans of that war who went to fight. They were the ones who organized it all. The ones who had gone home to Egypt, had gone home to Saudi Arabia, had gone home to Libya, they sent all the sons of the neighborhood, just like the Americans after September 11th sent all their sons to go join the army. Same kind of thing. And so these are the guys, you know, the very core group that was allied with bin Laden. I mean, they were old men, right? They weren't the terrorists anymore. They were just the organizers. They had to get the young guys. And so it was really the invasion of Iraq then provided the training ground for an entire new generation of young jihadi warriors who now, in an exact replication of what happened, you know, deliberately in their favor in the 1980s, they replicated that accidentally, indirectly in the Sunni Triangle in Iraq for the last 10 years. And a lot of those guys have, as we talked about, they've gone home to Libya and now on into Mali, spread the war on into Mali. They've gone on into Syria. And Iraq, really, the civil war is back on.
And
there's dead bodies everywhere.
War is always back on. That's the way it is. We'll be back.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, fights to protect your rights in the digital world. When a patent troll threatened podcasters, they fought back. EFF has also defended your right to encryption and has sued the NSA to end the government's mass, suspicionless surveillance. There are different ways you can help EFF, from donations, to signing petitions, to writing your representatives, to just spreading the word. Find out more at EFF.org. That's EFF.org.
This is Michael W. Dean on the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. And today we have Scott Horton from The Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org filling in for Nima Vedati, who's out being a new daddy. And we were talking about some things before the break, and we're going to talk about some more things after the break. And it's now after the break. So I'm going to put Scott Horton on here, and he's going to tell you about the things he was talking about before we went to the break. Go, Scott, go.
All right, well, so it's your fault that I go on so much because you couldn't ask questions more generally than that.
Come on. Scott Horton is saying it's my fault that he talks a lot. Scott Horton, his whole life is talking a lot.
And hey, feel free to follow up on any of this and ask more specific questions. But if you ask me what's going on in the Middle East, then that's pretty broad.
No, I'm fine with it. And it's I'm kind of joking about the challenge of asking that broad of a question and just turning you loose.
I can handle it, but I don't want to be rude either. It's your house.
No, man, I'm board hopping for the Scott Horton Show today, and I'm digging it. So where were we?
Well, I was just explaining how the terror war is a great big mess.
It sure is.
You brought up Charlie Wilson and the covert war for the Mujahideen against the Soviets in Afghanistan in the 1980s, and how now we're suffering the blowback from that covert foreign policy. In fact, the term blowback doesn't just mean consequences, or else we'd just say consequences. Blowback is consequences of covert action. So the American people don't know why the consequences are taking place.
It's a CIA term,
right? Out of the clear blue sky, just like those jets that day.
The CIA created that term, right? Or it's a CIA-used term, right?
Yes, that is CIA jargon. In fact, it was coined when the Eisenhower administration did a coup d'etat against the democratically elected parliamentary government of Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. And one of the CIA analysts said, we're going to have some blowback coming down the line from this one. And in fact, 26 years later, when the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power, and the Shah, the American-backed dictator, was overthrown, the CIA and the State Department said, hey, you know what? This might be okay, because we like the Ayatollah Khomeini. He's not that bad. He helped us overthrow Mossadegh and install the Shah back in 53. So we're pretty sure we'll be able to get along with him. And that was why you might have wondered, why did they okay the French to send this guy back to Iran when he was in exile in Paris? they thought they could deal with him because he was their old friend from the coup days. But meanwhile, what do Americans know about Iran? Rioting, screaming young men, stomping on burning American flags. And they say, boy, these people hate us. And they don't know that it's these are the consequences of secret government policies. And so that's why they call it blowback. And then what happens is government, of course, just like on September 11th, they say, oh, my God, history began this morning.
Yeah, if you go,
you don't need to know anything about what led up to this. All you need to know is that we need to do whatever we say we need to do to keep you safe from this happening again. And they've got a blank check to create what they've created, this horrible terror war that continues to spread consequences around the Middle East.
If I went on Bill O'Reilly or on Rachel Maddow and said, you know, I think that the fact that some people flew airplanes into American buildings might have something to do with American foreign policy over the past six decades in the Middle East. They would call me, they would say it's treason and like condemn me and shout me down on the air. But the CIA actually has said that kind of stuff, right?
Of course, over and over again. And listen, if somebody breaks into a house and kills somebody, and the detective wonders what the motive was, that doesn't make the detective an apologist for the murderer.
Yeah.
He's just trying to figure out, is this an insurance scam? Was it a simple burglary? Was it a love triangle gone wrong? Because he's got to help the prosecutor make the case. And then the jury's got to be able to set the right policy for what happens to this guy, right? That's the parallel here.
Yeah.
So this is my country, too. I don't like having towers even 1,000 miles from me attacked by anybody and all of that. I'm not excusing anything that happened. I'm just explaining what was that happened. That America helped create this suicide bomber army back in the 80s, and then we made them really angry. Specifically, Bill Clinton strangled the Iraqi population to death, killed 1 million with a blockade in the 1990s. The era of peacetime and, you know, Jerry Seinfeld and Crystal Pepsi and whatever was actually a horrible wartime for the Iraqi people the entire 1990s. It was all waged from bases in Saudi Arabia. And bin Laden rallied his troops. And never mind what he really believed. He was an evil murderer. But what he used to recruit was our presence.
And that's Scott Horton on the Freedom Fiends. And we'll be back with more in the second hour of Scott Horton on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
With 9/11, here we go. And then we'll go straight into the domestic conflict. Berkey guy.
This is the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael W. Dean. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. This is hour two of the show on December 15th. And yesterday was December 14th, a day which will live in infancy, because my co-host Nima Vidati and his wife Jessica just had their first child yesterday on a day which will live in infancy, December 14th. They gave birth to a healthy baby, Lily June Vidati. I said before it was Lily June Vidati Romanowski, but they've been smart and they're not foisting four names on a child. So it's Lily June Vidati, and I'm really happy about that. So today, filling in for Mr. Nima Vidati, you cannot fill Nima's shoes, you cannot replace Nima, but we have one of Nima's and my favorite radio personalities. This guy's a brilliant genius about geopolitical everything, especially war. War, what is it good for? War, we're declared. We got Scott Horton from The Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org. And I asked Scott an hour ago, Scott, why is there unrest in the Middle East? And Scott could literally talk for 127 hours straight about this. But you want to finish up with that, or you want to go straight into not living under your empire, Scott?
Well, we'll do both at the very same
cool.
time. Cool. Yeah, see, so, okay, here's the thing. I know I've spoken with this guy many times, Michael Scheuer, the former chief of the CIA's Bin Laden unit, the guy that gave Bill Clinton 10 chances to kill Bin Laden before 9/11, which Clinton declined to take over and over again. And what he said was there were two purposes of the September 11th attack by the people who did it. The first one was if they could get us to realize, wow, it really hurts when people kill a lot of your people at once, and we really hate that, and we would really not want to find out that that's what we've been doing to anyone, and maybe we'll knock it off, that would be one thing. But if that wouldn't work, it was really supposed to be bait. And the idea was that they would replicate the Mujahideen war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, only with the Americans this time.
Because nobody can defeat them over there in that territory. Like the Russians tried it. I mean, going all the way back to like 2000 or more years ago, no one's defeated people in that Afghani region, right? No outside sure. force.
Well, I mean, imagine a foreign army trying to take the Colorado Rockies or the Rocky Mountain
Red
chain
Dawn,
from the
man.
Americans
Red
hold
Dawn.
It now.
Red Dawn.
Right? Possible.
Yeah.
And so what they would do is just they would bog us down and bleed us to bankruptcy. And of course, they would also call what create in America what Bin Laden called the choking life for the Americans. And that meant the domestic security police state. All the soccer moms, he predicted correctly, would become security moms. And they would support any growth of government, any growth of Homeland Security, any change in the very nature of the constitutional system with Homeland Security and all the fusion centers and all the militarization and the real change in just the very form of the government. It was an easy prediction that they'll overreact. And in fact, and this is like heartbreaking in a way, honestly, Michael, but you can go and read this from 2010. It's an interview with one of Osama bin Laden's sons in Rolling Stone magazine. And the Rolling Stone reporter went and met with him in a nightclub in Damascus, Syria, where he's there with his, you know, now rich and overly controlling girlfriend who's sort of running the thing. It's quite a spectacle. But what he says in there is that bin Laden was thrilled when George Bush and Dick Cheney won the recount battle over Florida, that he was watching it very carefully. And he could tell right away what a couple of pretend tough guys these guys are and how easy it will be to get them to overreact. It's just simple judo, right? You slap somebody in the face, you get them to haul off to slug you, but then you use their weight to slam them into the wall kind of a thing.
Yeah,
right?
And basically you can't – it's a contradiction for people to say – I support America being over there bombing those people and droning them and shooting them, and to also say, I want the government to quit trying to take my guns away and quit, and I want the NSA to quit spying on my internets and my phone calls, right?
Yeah, well, because that's what happens is we our government basically, as they predicted, overreacted in every way that they thought. Now, what's supposed to happen is what's finally happening now, what's supposed to happen from the bad guy's point of view. Is what's finally happening now is people are getting sick and tired of it. All the TSA and all the Homeland Security and every single sheriff's department has to have an MRAP tank, armored personnel carrier. It's not tank, armored personnel carrier. mine resistant vehicles for patrolling our home counties. Why? Just because the Pentagon has a bunch of extra ones? And now all of our cops have carry M16s and run around like this is some police state when this is our America. And it's, and you know, honestly, a lot of it is just because the Pentagon's got a bunch of extra ones. What are we going to do with all these guns and all these armored personnel carriers we've bought? We'll give them away. Sheriff's departments are buying MRAP, mine-resistant armored personnel carriers, the big, huge ones, for $50 and $10 from the Pentagon for a token fee, right? One penny. Just take them off of our hands, kind of a thing. And it's changing even what it means to be an American. It used to be that to be an American meant your sheriff's department does not have an armored personnel carrier, right? In a sense, right? Yeah. In your grandpa's America, there never was such a thing. Are you kidding me? And the idea was that the people wouldn't have let that happen back then. But now, geez, if it'll keep us safe from terrorism, apparently that is a good enough excuse to change everything. And where now it used to be, ask Ronald Reagan, it was 100% unanimous consensus that the definition of Western civilization is we don't torture people. But now, well, geez, if it's the Republicans torturing people, if it's our fearless leader Dick Cheney torturing people, well, he must know what he's doing. And I guess maybe torture isn't that bad after all. And so America becomes, you know, that meaner of a place, that much, you know, we've sacrificed that much of what we used to be in order to adapt ourselves to this sin. It's
horrible. The people that, you know, these Republicans that criticized and made fun of Bill Clinton for using Clintonese, you know, lawyer lying while telling the truth, like, well, it depends on what the definition of is. They embrace that same kind of Clintonese when they say we don't torture, nod, nod, wink, wink, which means we send them to somebody in another country that will torture.
Yeah, or even if it's our guys torturing them, it's just an enhanced interrogation technique. And by the way, now let me argue for half an hour why torture's great. So, but it's not torture, though.
Yeah.
But it's just fine to torture people.
So there's a, argument. There's a quote that you told me about living under your empire. Who is, if you don't get rid of it, who is that and what's the quote and where would you go from that?
Okay, so it's such a fascinating story. The man's name was Chalmers Johnson. I was fortunate enough to be able to interview him many times. And he's the author of a book called Blowback, which came out before September 11th and predicted just such a kind of a event and that it would become the excuse for that much more rampaging around and that much more blowback to come. And then he also wrote Sorrows of Empire and Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. And the deal is he was a very conservative Republican professor at USC, the University of Southern California, the private university in Los Angeles. And he was a hawk and he was an advisor to the CIA. And he taught the Cold War. He taught foreign relations and the Cold War and why we need it and why you young people ought to go to D.C. to implement it to a generation of young students at USC. And then the Soviet Union fell apart. And the American Empire did not. And instead of NATO disbanding, NATO expanded all the way to Russia's border to include Poland and everything else. And there were many ardent Cold Warrior, conservative Cold Warrior Republicans, Ronald Reagan, proud Ronald Reaganite conservatives like Pat Buchanan and Jude Winiski and Chalmers Johnson. And these men, after the end of the Cold War, they said, all right, that's it. Soviet Union's gone. It's time to go back to being a constitutional republic. This whole empire thing was just for the emergency of containing communism. But now that communism is gone, we can undo it. And Chalmers Johnson realized that he said he had to go back and rethink his entire outlook. And maybe the empire wasn't defensive against communism. Not that they were angels, but maybe the empire had its own purposes. And maybe he needed to re-examine. And he said he had been terribly wrong. He was a spear carrier for empire, not for a defensive containment policy. He had been its useful dupe. And he changed his ways and he preached that the only way to save the republic was to abandon the empire. We don't need to, quote, lead the world. And in fact, it's so beautiful. This is such big news that in the the Pew survey, and believe me, they word these questions to in a way to try to not get these answers. These are the most interventionist, internationalist, East Coast establishment types that you could get at the Pew Charitable Trust. And they do this survey about American opinions of foreign policies. And the latest survey says the American people have a Ron Paul foreign policy. They want the American government, they want Washington, D.C., and the Pentagon and the CIA to mind their own business. But they are for free trade. They are for international business. They are for interrelationships with every nation in the world in every way possible, except for killing them and bombing them and threatening them. And this is a position that the interventionists on the left and the right have tried to deny existed. They try to pretend we're just isolationists. Oh, we're just cowards who want to pull up the drawbridge and hide away from the world. Some nonsense that never existed. And the people of America finally have caught on. This costs too much money. It does more harm than good. It puts us in more danger than we were in. It's changing our society for the worse. We can't afford it. And so you don't have to be an isolationist or a Michael Moore, big, fat, hypocrite socialist to oppose empire. You could be like Chalmers Johnson, the right-wing conservative professor from USC who just honestly said, I have to change my mind. I was wrong. We have to knock this off.
Some of the smartest anti-empire people are former military men. What's the other guy, the fighting Quaker? And then we got Bill Buport on the radio here next week. Talk about the fighting Quaker. Do you know about him?
You're talking about Ben Stone?
No, he's the bad Quaker. And we'll have more about
the fighting one. I'm sorry.
We'll have more about Quakers fighting and bad and good. Nixon was a bad Quaker, but not the bad Quaker. We'll have more on the Freedom Fiends with Scott Horton when we come back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolaVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Extravaganza. And today, filling in, we have Scott Horton filling in from the Scott Horton Show for Nima Vedati, Freedom Fiend, who's out having a baby, had a baby, he's out being a daddy. And Nima Vedati, his dad is from Iran. And I just mentioned that because, you know, people look at nations as like, there's something wrong with those people. They're all wrong. But people who listen to this show know and love Nima. And no, he's a person. He's not an object. He's not a thing somewhere. And Nima's dad fled Iran. He said, things are getting bad here in the 70s and left right before the revolution and came here. So a lot of people, Scott, think that Iran is bad and terrible and something must be done. But it's a little more complicated than that. Do you want to go into it?
Yeah. And you know what? I'll go ahead and start with a confession that I'm guilty of the same thing. I read the news all day. And what does it all look like to me? Letters on a white background. I don't see the Iranian people either. And if I see Iran at all, just like the story I'm looking at right in front of me here about the sanctions, there's a picture of a bird's eye view of a political map of Iran. And so somewhere in my brain is a very vague blob of a shape of sort of kind of shape like Iran and more or less where I approximate it is in the world. But I have so very few pictures in my own mind of what it's like to stand on the ground in Iran. I've seen very little footage of that ever in my life, which means everybody else has seen a lot less than that for the most part. But in fact, if you were there, it's just like being here, only somewhere else. You know what I mean? It seems like you're standing on top of a flat planet, but actually you're on the side of it spinning around, and it's round just like anywhere else in the world. And it's hard. It's so far away. It's hard. It's just hard to imagine, especially they never, ever, ever show it on TV. And you know, one thing, I hate to say anything positive about Michael Moore at all, but in Michael Moore's movie Fahrenheit 9/11, he actually showed some footage of here are the people of Baghdad going about their day. And people attacked him and said his point was that everything there is just great under Saddam Hussein, which I don't think he was really trying to say. What he was trying to say was, hey, look, you know, this is a real place. This isn't just some fireworks show where everybody gets to feel good about bombing somebody for a little while because you're still mad about that thing that happened or whatever. These are women and babies playing on their swing sets, going to school, going to their jobs. And, you know, the truth is he was so right about Iraq, and America destroyed that society. They still have a horrible civil war because of that. And he was just trying to make the simple point that, you know, these other people are real people. They're not just your playthings. But now Iran, the thing about Iran is this. They're no threat to America at all. And I despise their Ayatollah as much as I guess I feel like despising anybody. I don't know. I'm not in favor of any regime anywhere in the world. Certainly not some theocrats of some religion I don't believe in. From what I hear, they have some very severe crime and punishment, they call it, policies over there that I would heartily disapprove of. And if I had my way, it'd be a better place, I guess. But when our government or the Israeli government call Iran a threat, the truth is what they really mean is these people have the will and the ability to resist us. They are not satellites in our empire. They are not on their knees doing what they're told. And they insist on maintaining their independence from us. And we will never forgive them for that. It's as simple as that. And the thing of it is, too, you know, Wolf Blitzer or any of these people on TV, if they tell you any history of Iran, it always starts in 79 and never in 53. But they have a real reason to resent the U.S. Think about it like this. When the revolution happened in 79 and the American sock puppet dictator was overthrown, he'd been in power for 26 years. And at that time, Jimmy Carter was asked about that. Well, hey, didn't America install this guy in power over these people 26 years ago when they'd gotten rid of him? And Carter said, oh, come on, that's ancient history. Okay, but 26 years ago was the Ronald Reagan years. If the Iranians had overthrown our government and put an Ayatollah in power in D.C. over us for 26 years, would we be over it by now? And we wouldn't have the right to rise up and cut his head off at our first opportunity and ship his corpse back to wherever he came from? Of course we would. And so, you know, I'm not saying that the hostage taking in 79 and the burning of the flags and whatever is all wonderful if that's what's got everybody upset. But I'm just saying it didn't happen in a vacuum. And it doesn't mean that they're good guys if what our government was doing was wrong, right? Just, it's not that black and white. We can have bad guys all around, but our guys were bad guys in that one too.
Thank you. More coming up on the Freedom Themes with Scott Horton after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
This is Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. And Mr. Nima Vadavi is out being a new father today. So we have Scott Horton filling in for him. And I wanted to extrapolate a little bit on something that we said earlier was basically the idea of, you know, when you show the people in the enemy of your country, like when you show them having fun, like that skunk Michael Moore did. We don't like most of what Michael Moore did, but... I agree with Scott Horton that it's not a bad thing that he showed kids and babies and mothers in Iran being human to humanize it. I mean, that's what they criticized Jane Fonda for. Like, she humanized the enemy. And it's really weird to me when people criticize an entire nation and don't realize there's people there. And conversely, when people get mad if you criticize a nation's foreign policy for being barbaric and they automatically have a defense like, oh, you can't say that about them. Like if you criticize Israel's foreign policy, people say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, man, I love the people of Israel. I love Jewish people. I have no problem with any individual one. I have big problems with Israel because their foreign policy dictates my nation's foreign policy, and my neighbors and my son are all going to be sent to do Israel's bidding at some point. You know, my son's in the army. And it's not, you have to separate the people from the nation. The nation is the government and the thing that does the horrible things. And the people are just people, man. And the people that are shooting back, they're probably shooting back because someone went over there and shot them. And you can't point that out or you're un-American. So with all that in mind, let me play devil's advocate here or statist advocate and be like a lot of people listening might be and be like, but Scott Horton, Iran has nukes. We need to stop them. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, on the individualism thing, I'm individualist too, and I agree with exactly what you say there, and I think that this is the number one most important reason, of course, why people have to be anti-war, because it's killing people. You know, this is not just about breaking the bank. It's not just about the domestic consequences and you know, creating more terrorism and creating Sunni-Shia civil wars and whatever else. I mean, we're talking about individual human lives being taken. And if I don't know what it is, but you better have a really, really good excuse if you're going to have innocent people dying around the people who somehow really need killing. So, you know, if we're talking about revenge for September 11th, that should have been nothing but a special forces mission from the very beginning to find bin Laden and Zawahiri and, yeah, you know, their like
SEAL Team 100 six.
Closest friends.
SEAL
and
Team
that's
six.
It.
SEAL Team 6 should have gone over September, you know, the day after. And not
yeah, I mean, and the truth is, and people know this story, at Tora Bora, the Marine Corps was 10 miles away, 20,000 Marines ready to, you know, kill, kill, kill. And Donald Rumsfeld and Tommy Franks told them to stay put. You talk about a Benghazi scandal and no backup coming. But the CIA and some of their hired guns had al-Qaeda pinned down in 1 square mile at Tora Bora. And the Air Force was bombing them wherever the CIA was pointing their lasers. But they needed the Marines to finish them off. They had them surrounded on 3 sides and bin Laden escaped. And they could have stopped them back then. And then think of it. They killed, they turned the world upside down since then, hunting for Saddam and whatever. Back in al-Qaeda now again in Libya and Syria. And this mad foreign policy that's all come from what could have been targeted only on the guilty. And instead, basically hit everybody but them. Like you said, they did finally catch bin Laden ruling his caliphate, hiding in the attic from even his wives, you know, the mastermind villain who is going to kill us at any day. And the thing of it is, too, you asked about Iran. Iran wanted to help America. Iran was being run. Their president at the time was Khatami, who was trying very hard to make a rapprochement with the West and put an end to old enmities. And when September 11th happened, they held a million people came out and did a candlelight vigil for the American victims on September 11th. And the Iranian government cooperated. And I've talked at length with the Bush officials who ran this, Flint Leverett and Hillary Mann Leverett from the National Security Council and the State Department. They were working with the Iranians. The Iranians were working with them to target the Taliban and al-Qaeda forces in Afghanistan. To any al-Qaeda who escaped into Iran, they were rounding up and then mostly shipping back to their home countries to be prosecuted or even probably tortured under American supervision. And they were willing to work with us on everything. And then, of course, the policy came that they were supposedly part of the axis of evil with their arch enemy, Saddam Hussein, who America, in fact, George Bush's father and Vice President Cheney had only 10 years before had been backing against Iran. And they pretended, oh, they're axis of evil together or whatever, and decided they wanted to turn Iran into an enemy right when they were trying to make friends. And here's a story that most people on the right especially have never heard. And that is that in the spring of 2003, the Iranians, through the Swiss, because we don't even have an embassy in their country or official diplomatic recognition with them all this time, through the Swiss, they sent what's called the golden offer to negotiate everything, whether to even have a nuclear program at all. Their relationship with Hamas, Hezbollah, we'll tell them to disarm and become just political parties, they said. Whatever you want to do with Saddam, we'll help you, they said. And on, they wanted to be friends and work with us against al-Qaeda because, of course, to al-Qaeda, they're probably the number two or number three enemy after the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the government of the United States of America, the Shiite heretics, according to the al-Qaeda guys, who, of course, kill Shiites all day in Syria right now. You know, and to the idea that they're making nuclear weapons, the facts are that that's just not true. And even more to the point, the facts are that the CIA and the Israeli Mossad say that that's just not true. The official position of the American and Israeli intelligence communities, never mind the blabbermouth politicians for a minute, the official position of the intelligence agencies of America and Israel is that the Iranians do not have a nuclear weapons program. They have not made a decision that they want to have one and have not begun to make one. And at worst, you could accuse them, is that they want to master the technology so that they could at some point. But in order for them to actually do so, everyone would know about it. There's no way for them to get away with secretly doing it because the IAEA has safeguarded all their facilities and inspect all their facilities, and all of their nuclear material is accounted for, you know, to the brim, outside of any demands ever placed on any nation under the Non-Proliferation Treaty. They've proven the negative over and over and over and over again that they're just not making nuclear weapons. And I'm not saying this is ironclad or anything, but the supreme leader over there, the Ayatollah, says that it's against God's law to make nuclear weapons. And I'm not saying he can't take that back. He's a politician first and foremost, of course. But it would at least be a major change, and he would have to be able to justify it in a major way in order to make that change for his own internal politics. And probably the only thing that could possibly get him to make that change would be if America and or Israel attacked Iran in the first place. As it is now, and just think of it, Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons, including H-bombs, and America has thousands. And of course, you know, the triad, right? The submarines, we've got we can kill you with carbon rods from space, for crying out loud. We don't even need nukes to blow you up anymore. They're not even considering challenging our military power. And the CIA believes that the only reason they ever even considered nukes way back in the early 2000s was to keep Saddam out, because the Americans kept saying that Saddam was making nukes. And they thought, man, maybe we need to look into the possibility of getting one or two to keep the Americans from using Saddam to invade us again, or to keep Saddam Hussein from just doing it on his own. And so, in other words, and more to the point, I think, everybody who ever said opposite of what I just said was either lying to you or was a fool who was repeating the lies of liars. And just think, you could fill the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific, with the lies of the warmongers about the Iranian nuclear threat that never was. I mean, this is world historical boy cried wolf type stuff here on a level probably never seen before in history.
Yeah. I mean, I think you really hit it when you said, like, the reason the U.S. and Israel consider Iran a threat is because Iran won't bow down to them. I mean, when I think about the fact that the U.S. sends troops with M16s to walk down the street in all these other nations, can you imagine if that happened here? Like, I guess it's happening here because our sheriff's departments are turning into that, but when people say, like, those people are horrible, they're shooting our men over there, it's like, and this sounds like treason to some people, but it's like, for everybody that's out there stroking their rifles, you know, and talking about the Second Amendment, and, you know, I like guns, I'm a gun guy, and watching Red Dawn and the remake, you know, if any of these nations sent troops to march down your street, would you say, oh, that's okay? No, you wouldn't. And that's what they're doing to people from other nations who are in their nations. And Iran won't allow American boots on the ground. And America and Israel don't like it.
Right. And isn't it funny, too, how Hollywood has to come up with these ridiculous scenarios where the Americans are the guerrilla warrior civilians fighting for their freedom from the foreign invaders, whether it's Battlefield, yeah, Los Angeles, or Red Dawn, or any of these. We're the world empire, y'all. Sorry, but it's our country that declares permanent global hegemony and will crush and threatens to preemptively nuke anyone who challenges our power over every continent, every nation on this planet. It's madness. And the only countries that are independent from us at all anymore are Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. And that's why our government hates them so much, is because they have the ability to resist. And again, that just because our government is acting wrong, that doesn't make the governments of those countries good people, just as the fact of how bad those governments are doesn't make their people bad like they are. You know, we have to learn to discriminate.
Yep. And we'll be back with more with Scott Horton from The Scott Horton Show on The Freedom Fiends after this.
Mm-hmm.
listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is Mr. Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and this is the last segment of our talk radio show. And today we've had filling in for Mr. Nima Vidati, who's out being a daddy for the first day of his life, which is pretty cool. And we celebrate that, and we celebrate his life and his wife and their baby, Lily June Vidati. And there's another life in the world. I like that. It's a good thing. And we have Scott Horton filling in today. Scott Horton is someone that Nima listens to every show that Scott Horton does and has for years, and turned me on to Scott Horton. And I listen to Scott Horton when I have time. And even though I don't have a lot of time, I make time for Scott Horton. Scott Horton's a good guy. He's brilliant. And you can find his stuff at scotthorton.org. That's scotthorton.org. And speaking of life and good stuff, we've said a lot of scary stuff today, but the world is a scary place, and mainly because governments and crazy people want to have an endless war. Scott, I want to know in the last little segment here, what are you hopeful about, and what do you see for the future that makes you not horrified?
Well, you know, the thing of it is to me is that the reason that I'm interested in this kind of thing and I like talking about it all the time is because I'm convinced that it doesn't have to be this way. You know, it's sort of a communist premise that there's this determined history. It's all written in the commie book about the future, how everybody's supposed to be like they think or whatever it is. But I really don't believe in that. I really think that if people push hard for liberty, then they can have liberty in their era. If not, they won't have it. And times change. And in the history of civilizations, there are lots of ups and downs. But right now, as silly as it sounds, to put it this way, I think really we are living in the golden age of mankind right now. I mean, even percentage-wise, there's 7 billion and change people on the planet right now. And percentage-wise, there's never been this kind of standard of living for the average nobody, ever. I mean, there are peasants who are becoming middle class everywhere in the world. And it's because of the spread of capitalism. And in some ways, it's even a side effect a little bit of America's imperial foreign policy, because some of what the IMF and the World Bank criminals demand when they go in to exploit these third world countries is that they adopt a little bit of our program. And a lot of times that includes some basic property rights protections and taxes that, you know, they're low enough for our multinational corporations or whatever, but they also become lower than for the people of those countries too. And they have real growth. And right now, you know, world hunger and percentage-wise too, and world poverty percentage-wise too, are at all-time lows. And, you know, Buckminster Fuller used to say that if all the politicians in the world would just go away and let, you know, real free exchange take place throughout the world and let free people invent the distribution channels necessary to get everything to everyone who needs it, we could do it. And the whole world, we could all live like billionaires. And that sounds a little bit utopian, except that we're not talking about some central program by some genius who happens to agree with us about the way things should be. We're talking about individual sovereignty to the greatest extent possible, secession to the last man. And you know, the ultimate in anti-government extremism. What we need is liberty, and the rest really will work itself out. And so what that means in terms of politics is oppose everything. It's time for people to stop being the demand for our government supply. They're going to use any excuse they can. The last thing we need to do is give them some more. When they say that we need them or else all these bad things are going to happen, at the very least, we can start with not believing them and forcing them to make a very convincing case before we go ahead and do one more thing. And I think people really are catching on. Part of it is partisanship. But, you know, we had a horrible massacre in a school a year ago. And, of course, everyone on the left who tried to take advantage of that, who thought that they might be able to take more guns away, they jumped on that bandwagon as fast as they could. But it wasn't just their hardcore political opponents. It was just regular people around the country, regular gun owners and non-gun owners alike, said, you know what? Just because something horrible happened doesn't mean you get to exploit it for your agenda. Back off. And by and large, the gun controllers lost over the last year, as well they should have. And, you know, Barack Obama tried to get us into a war with Syria, which the leaders of the Republican Party wanted too. John McCain and all the rest of them wanted it too, wanted it even more than him. And the American people told him no. And the reason they called off the vote in the Senate and the House was because they weren't going to be able to pass it.
Make an appointment to
Thanks
listen.
A lot, Scott. While it's still legal. Scott Horton.
Learn more about The Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.